Good evening, Mosaic. My name's Danny. I'm the Community Life Pastor here at Mosaic at WW. And if you are new here, like this is one of your first few times being here, so glad you guys are here because we are starting a brand new series. We started last week as we entered into the book of Ephesians. Now, guys, we are going into Ephesians in this basically year. As we are diving into Ephesians, we are going to be unearthing the beautiful truths of our adoption into God's family. And I am so excited that we get to do this together. Now, there are a few tools that are available to us, a few different opportunities for us to begin to experience the book of Ephesians together. The first I wanted to point out to you, there should be a slide above me for the Ephesians scripture journals. Now, what these are basically notebook versions of just the book of Ephesians, where on one page is the scriptures in the ESV, which is the translation that we use at Mosaic, so that you can follow along through the messages. But also, there is a side for journaling. So it is a great way for you to be able to engage with the scriptures week in, week out, and also as you are studying God's word for yourselves. So you can buy these journals on Amazon. There is a link on the Mosaic app. If you haven't downloaded the Mosaic app, this would be a good time to do that. And you could go on there and follow that link. And I think they're like $3 or $4. So they're not a huge expense, but they'll be a super great asset for you as you are studying the book of Ephesians. The other thing that is so exciting is a special treat that we get to journey into tonight. There's an immersive experience that we get to unearth the book of Ephesians by really hearing it from Stephen Trafton. Stephen and his wife, Juliet, they just moved back here to Orlando with their three kiddos, Tad, Audra, and three-month-old Jude. And they have a ministry called Living Letters, where both Stephen and his wife, Juliet, they get to go around the country and basically helping to bring the words of God to life in a very dramatic and beautiful way. And they have a special skill set with this because for the last 13 years, they've been living in New York City, where both Stephen and Juliet have worked on Broadway as performers there, as well as Stephen has worked for Redeemer Presbyterian Church, which is Tim Keller's church. So he has a very special, unique skill set, which is why they started their ministry, which is called Living Letters. And tonight, we get to jump into the book of Ephesians. We get to journey into the pages of Scripture in a very special way, because tonight, we are the next church that is receiving the letter of Paul to the church in Ephesus, the book of Ephesians. And tonight, as this messenger comes to bring this letter to us, we get to hear as a captive audience to the incredible words of God through Paul, through his messenger.
Thank you so much, Danny, for hosting me today. My name is Tychicus, and I'm thrilled to be here. This letter from Paul is earth-shattering, and I'm beside myself that I get to share it with you all today. So, Paul sent me to you to, Irene, is that you? How are you doing? It's so wonderful to see you. I love what you've done with your hair. Very nice. When did you do that? It's so good. Do you not remember me? Oh, it's been a few years, but it's wonderful to see you. I remember you had that cooking accident a couple years ago, kind of burned your hand. Everything going okay with that? Yeah, healing okay? Okay, good. And, Apollonius, that burly husband of yours. How you doing, sir? I can see you've been working out a little bit. Very nice. Now, are you taking good care of her? She's a keeper, right? Oh, it's wonderful to see you. I've been meaning to tell you, thank you so much for recommending that I connect with Cyrus and Sophia in Miletus. You're right. Sophia's an incredible cook. The fish and chips, amazing. They send their love. Oh, it's so wonderful to see you. Now, where was I? The letter. Okay. So Paul sent me to you to... Oh my goodness, Isadora, you're growing up right before our very eyes. How are you doing? What, are you about 11, 12 years old now? It's so, oh wow. Life going okay? Oh, good. And I'm so glad you have a community that values having children in the worship service. It's wonderful to see you. And I might as well see who else. Leonidas, how are you, sir? Good to see you. And Dionysius. And Olympia, hi. Sosthenes, how are those knees? Herman, it's wonderful to see each of you. Please stick around afterwards. I would love to connect and hear how you're doing and just encourage you all. Now, back to the letter. So Paul sent me this letter and to bring to you. And as I was on my way out, he, oh, you all know Paul. He, oh my goodness, you all don't know Paul, do you? I mean, you know him by reputation, of course, but has anyone here actually met Paul? Wow. How do I describe him? Oh, I know. I'll tell you a quick story. So some of you may remember this. Alexander, you were with me. Good to see you. That several years ago, some of us were traveling around to different Gentile churches to take up a collection. Our Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem had been experiencing severe poverty, and so we were taking up this collection for them. And you know what? Let's just pause for a minute. Can we acknowledge how incredible it is to say our Jewish brothers and sisters in Christ, right? I mean, because we grew up with this hostility towards the Jewish people, this animosity that was ingrained in us since birth. I mean, how many times did we hear family members or friends say, they are authors of sedition, they follow their own laws, they don't even put up images of our emperor. Or what's another one? They don't follow the true gods, the same gods that everyone else follows. Or here's a classic one. They believe their God is in control, and yet other nations are ruling over them. How would anyone believe in a God like that? So I just say this to say, it's humbling to think about the fact that before we became Christians, we shared in this hostility towards the Jewish people. Now, this wasn't just one-sided. Many of us have experienced hostility as well, and we've all heard about that wall in their temple. You know, the sign that says, if any Gentiles go further into the inner court, they'll be put to death. I mean, talk about a dividing wall of hostility, right? But anyways, back to the story. We were taking up this collection before. I mean, he was the one who taught me the gospel and inspired me to follow Jesus. And so, you know, we'd kept in touch. But this mission to Jerusalem, this was my first opportunity to spend a significant amount of time with him. And, you know, he told me about his desire to go to Rome one day. And I said, why do you want to go to Rome when Rome is already everywhere around us with crosses in our cities, holding the threat of punishment literally over our heads? This constant rhetoric of peace and salvation that Rome has supposedly brought to us, as if we're in this climactic narrative in which Caesar is Lord and Caesar is Savior. But Paul said, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Savior, and he was determined to go right into the heart of Caesar's city, and I was determined to go with him. I go to the ends of the earth with this man. Anyways, back to the story. On our trip to Jerusalem, we made this stop in Troas, and that is where things got really interesting. So on the final night we were there, we were at the home of a man named Carpus on the third floor of his house. Now, keep in mind, it was very late. People had been working all day. They were very tired and not much room to sit. And how do I say this nicely? When Paul starts speaking about Jesus, he can really get going. And boy, did he on this night. And in spite of how tired people were, I mean, he was bringing it home and they were enthralled. I mean, he took them through the Jewish scriptures, guiding them through Israel's history because these were Gentiles and knew very little about the Jewish story, about how God had given Israel the covenants of promise, choosing and separating them from the other nations through the act of circumcision and by obedience to the works of the law he gave them, and how God gave his citizens hope by promising them that he would one day pour out his Holy Spirit upon them, that he'd forgive their trespasses, that he'd dwell among them, establish his kingdom, and raise his people from the dead. And some people were thinking, where do the Gentiles fit into this story? And actually, that's a story for another day. You'll actually hear that in the letter. But here's where Paul went. He spoke movingly about how he had been a persecutor of the followers of Jesus until he saw Jesus face to face, raised from the dead after his crucifixion, and that this confirmed that he was the Jewish Messiah and that all of God's promises were being fulfilled in him. Now, at some point, I became aware of my surroundings, and I look over in the corner, and there's this young boy named Eutychus, about 10, 11. He wasn't just sitting by the window. He was actually sitting in the window, and he was starting to nod off a little bit, and there wasn't much room because it was so packed full of people. And all of a sudden, we heard this loud thud. Eutychus had fallen out of the window asleep. And so everyone was screaming, and it was total chaos, and everyone ran outside and they gathered around the boy, and it was very clear that the boy was dead. And so Paul pushed his way through and he knelt down on the ground and he embraced Eutychus, and we saw his lifeless body come back to life. I mean, we had just been hearing about Jesus' resurrection, and then we witnessed a resurrection. And so we all went back up into Carpus's house, stayed all through the night into the morning, listening to Paul speak about Jesus and his incredible calling to the church. I tell you so many stories like this from our years of travel, and now he's there in Rome itself, where he so much wanted to go and take the gospel, and he's in prison. On false charges, of course. How he wishes he could have traveled here with me to be with you all. Now, I'm not going to downplay the amount of suffering that he has experienced or is experiencing. It has been rough. But he's staying strong and faithful in the Lord, continuing to exalt Christ in all situations. I mean, you'll hear that in the letter. But here's the thing that really gets me. He's there in chains. It's cold and dark, uncomfortable. The stench is horrendous. It's solitary and lonely. I mean, he's certainly earned the right to think about himself for a little while, wallow a little in self-pity, but not Paul. Do you want to know what he's doing there in that Roman prison? He's thinking about you. You. All of you. People he's never even met, like Isidora and Irene and Alexander and all of these churches throughout Asia in Miletus and Troas and Colossae, all of the churches that were planted by him or were planted by his followers, as in your case. He loves you like he loved that little boy who tumbled out of the window in Troas. And if he could fall on you right now and bring your discouraged hearts back to life, he would do so in a moment. But since he can't be here, he has entrusted this letter to me to carry from church to church like a written embrace, pumping the life of the gospel through the veins of those who were once dead in their sins, but who have been made alive in Christ. You all don't know Paul, but he knows what you are going through. And believe me, what he doesn't know about Asia, I tell him. And we pray about you all every single day. I mean, he knows how confusing it is to live in a world where everyone is telling you what to think and who to worship and how to live virtuously, how to find happiness. There are so many voices. How do you sort out who to listen to? I mean, I grew up here in this province, and I still remember as a little boy, my house being filled with candles and incense and places to make offerings and all of these trips to the festivals and temples and prayers that had to be recited in exactly the right way. I mean, you all know the drill. And I remember my parents telling me that doing these things would secure divine favor from the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, and that this would bring our family safety and health, and it would help our city be free from war and danger. And like many of you, I've left these gods and practices in the past, but I understand, and Paul understands, how easy it is and secure now and in the future. And let's not even talk about the philosophers. Actually, let's talk about them. Irene, you were a big fan of Epicurus, right? Do you remember his chief idea about finding happiness? Oh, good. You put it from your mind. Very nice. If you didn't remember, I actually wrote it down for you. So his famous quote was, "For the end of all of our actions is to be free from pain and fear. And when once we have attained all this, the tempest of the soul is laid." Wow, that's deep. Uh-oh, I think we ruffle some feathers over here with Leonidas. You were a fan of Epictetus, the Stoic, right? Now, didn't he object by saying, like, you can get hurt by the world whether you do certain things or not, right? So what was his chief idea about finding happiness? Oh, good. You put it from your mind as well. Nice. So he said, seek not good Diogenes, right? The cynics. And what was his chief idea about finding happiness? Don't worry, I'm not going to make you answer this one. He has the most who is most content with the least. So the cynics didn't want anything at all. And I know many of you are fans of Plato, right? So when I say plate, you say, oh. Plate? Plate? Oh, I loved his quote, character is simply long habit continued. I mean, look at all these philosophers. Each one of them telling you the best character-forming habits to be wise in every situation, as if they know what true wisdom is. Think this way, do these things, and you'll be wise. You'll have this life that you dreamed of. Or will you? I mean, good grief, there are even teachers inside the church these days that are confusing people. I was just in the Lycus Valley at Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea, and there was this traveling preacher who was going around and telling people that faith is just a private thing between you and God. Refrain from certain practices, and you can have these heavenly visions. No need to be in church. It's messy and difficult anyways. You can have this fullness of God in you privately. What could be better than that, this preacher said. But he has no idea what God is doing through the church. I mean, as you'll see in this letter, it is way bigger than just you or me. The letter. Now, you're probably thinking about my comment about how Paul can really get going. When he starts talking, you're probably like, Tychicus, you can really go. I hear you. And please don't fall out of the window when I read this to you. You're on your own, I'm afraid. I mean, I can give a pretty good bear hug, but I can't promise a resurrection. Just imagine Paul as you hear his words as he's sitting in prison. From Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints, the faithful in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we may be holy and unblemished in his sight in love, by predestining us to adoption as his sons through Jesus Christ, which he has freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to his good pleasure that he has lavished on us in all wisdom and insight by revealing to us the mystery of his will that he set forth in Christ toward the administration of the fullness of the times, that is, to sum up all things in Christ, the things in heaven and the things on earth, in whom we too have been claimed as God's own possession, since we were predestined according to the one purpose of him who accomplishes all things by the counsel of his will, so that we who are the first to set our hope on Christ would be to the praise of his glory, in whom you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed in Christ, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, who is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. For this reason, since I have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all of the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, as I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in your growing knowledge of him, since the eyes of your heart have been enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the incomparable greatness of his power at work toward us who believe, as displayed in the exercise of his immense strength, which he exercised in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, far above every rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And God put all things under Christ's feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And although you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you formerly lived out your lives according to the world's present age, according to the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the ruler of the spirit that is now energizing the sons of disobedience, among whom all of us lived out our lives in the cravings of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he has loved us, even though we were dead in our transgressions, nevertheless made us alive with Christ. By grace, you are saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in order to demonstrate in the coming ages the surpassing wealth of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not from works, so that no one can boast, for we are his workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God planned beforehand so that we may do them. So therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision that is performed on the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were without the Christ, alienated from the citizenship of Israel, strangers of the covenants of promise, not having any hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ, for he is our peace, who made both groups into one and who destroyed the middle wall of partition, the hostility, when he rendered inoperative in his flesh the law of commandments in decrees. He did this in order to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and to reconcile them both in one body to God through the... And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near, so that through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So you are no longer foreigners and non-citizens, but are fellow citizens among the saints and fellow members of God's household, because you have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Therefore, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, that by revelation the divine mystery was made known to me, as I wrote briefly before, so that when reading this you may be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in former generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets through the Spirit, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, by the exercise of his power. To me, less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given in order to proclaim to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to enlighten everyone about God's mysterious plan, a mystery that has been kept hidden for ages in God who has created all things. The purpose of this enlightenment is that through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God should now be revealed to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access to God through Christ's faithfulness. For this reason, I ask you not to lose heart because of what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. And for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the wealth of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner person, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that because you have been rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the height and depth and length and breadth, and thus to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power that is at work within us is able to do far more than we ask or think, to him be the glory and in Christ Jesus and in the church throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live worthily of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you too were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he captured captives and he gave gifts to men. Now, what is the meaning of he ascended, except that he also descended to the lower regions, namely the earth? He, the very one who descended, is also the one who ascended above all of the heavens in order to fill all things. It was he who gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. That is, to build up the body of Christ so that we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature person, attaining to the full measure of Christ's stature. So you're no longer to be children, tossed back and forth by waves and blown by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of people who craftily carry out their deceitful schemes, but practicing the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Christ, who is the head. From him, the whole body grows, fitted and held together through every supporting ligament. As each does its part, the body grows in love. So I say this and insist in the Lord that you no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. Because they are callous, they have given themselves over to indecency for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn about Christ like this. If indeed you heard about him and were taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, you were taught with reference to your former way of life to lay aside the old man, who is being corrupted in accordance with deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man who has been created in accordance with God in righteousness and holiness that comes from the truth. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on the cause of your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. The one who steals must steal no longer. Rather, he must labor, doing good with his own hands so that he may have something to share with the one who has need. You must let no unwholesome talk come from your mouths, but only what is beneficial to the one who has need, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You must put away all bitterness and anger, rage, malice, evil, slanderous talk. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. So therefore, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. But among you there must not be either sexual immorality, impurity, or greed, as these are not fitting for the saints. Neither should there be vulgar speech, foolish talk, or coarse jesting, all of which are out of character, but rather thanksgiving. For you can be confident of this one thing, that no person who is immoral, impure, or greedy, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in Christ, in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, God's wrath comes on the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were at one time darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk in the light as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For the things they do in secret are shameful even to mention. But all things being exposed to the light are made evident. For everything made evident is light. And for this reason, it says, wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So therefore, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, taking advantage of every opportunity because the days are evil. And do not be foolish, but we will be wise by understanding what the Lord's will is. And do not get drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your hearts to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for each other in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, to sanctify her by the washing of the water, by the word, in order to present the church to himself as glorious, not having a stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own body, but he feeds it. He takes care of it, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, it says, a man will leave his father and mother and will be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is great. But I'm actually speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Nevertheless, each one of you must love his wife as himself, and let the wife respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment accompanied by a promise, that it may go well with you and that you will live a long time on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but raise them up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your masters with enthusiasm as those serving people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Obey with enthusiasm as though serving the Lord and not people. For you know that each person, whether bondservant or free, if he does something good, this will be rewarded by the Lord. And masters, treat your bondservants in the same way, giving up the use of threats, because you know that both you and they have the same master in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. Finally, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, against the spiritual forces of evil, against the darkness. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. Stand firm, therefore, by fastening the belt of truth around your waist, by putting on the breastplate of righteousness, by fitting your feet with a preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. And in all of this, by taking up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And with every prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and to this end be alert with all perseverance and requests for all of the saints. And at the same time, pray for me also, that I may be given the message when I begin to speak, that I may confidently make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Tychicus, my dear friend and faithful servant in the Lord, will make known everything to you so that you may know my circumstances and how I am doing. I sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and sisters in Christ, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus with an undying love.